Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton. Along with me is the, well, our own personal High Rocks Hurricane, Bethany McChesney. And today
you can't call me that here with Rachel.
I know. It's tough because, you know, you still get your kudos. So we have with us today, again, welcoming back the winner of the Women's Invitational High Rocks Dallas event. That's a mouthful. Anyway, Rachel Schreiber. And Rachel, it's so awesome to see you again. And congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
My first question is, how many donuts can you buy with $10,000?
Actually not enough. But it wasn't just any donut. It was a salty donut.
What donut?
In Dallas, it's like this place called the Salty Donut. And they're like not your normal donut. They're like the most decadent flavors, and it's like a cake base. And oh my gosh, it was amazing.
I'll take your word for it. I'm not a donut guy. I just said.
Oh, what?
I grew up with a diabetic older brother. We didn't have sweets. There was none of that stuff.
Fair.
In
that's fair. Probably for the best.
Yeah. So I want to start kind of with, if we go back to, you know, so you're living in Kentucky, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to go to the Invitational in Dallas. So you, I assume you fly to Dallas or you drove or whatever the case, you arrive in Dallas. How does that start? Like, when do you get there? You get there Friday, Thursday?
So I actually got in Wednesday night because I decided that the CrossFit quarterfinal workouts got released Thursday afternoon. And the only way to make those work and the race was to hit those light when they were released. So I was at the gym, warmed up, ready to go, ready to hit those just at a random gym that I found in Dallas, ready to hit those right when they were released. So I actually got there, like I said, Wednesday, so a lot earlier.
All right. So since we're there, and that was kind of what I wanted to get at. So you got there, you got started to do your CrossFit. So Wednesday night you got there. Did you do them Wednesday or Thursday?
Thursday. So we flew in, yeah, it was Wednesday night, got there, checked in the hotel, kind of got situated, made sure I was ready to compete Thursday, and then the workouts got released around 1, and we planned on hitting the majority of them Thursday afternoon, kind of blind, as many as we could. The CrossFit workouts had really specific deadlines, so like Friday at noon, you already had to submit the first two, and then Saturday at doing this with the next two. So I was like, there's no way I can do them Saturday because I'm going to be racing. Like, I don't really know the schedule then. So I was like, I got to hit almost all of them before I even get to the race on Saturday.
Wow. So did you them all on Thursday then? You did them all on Thursday?
I did 3 of them Thursday afternoon and night. And then I did the other 2 on Friday morning.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I'm not kidding you guys, when we, like, my Zach flew in, my fiance, Friday afternoon, and he like picked me up and kind of had a little bit of a meltdown. I was like, Zach, my legs hurt so bad. Like, we went to Cava for dinner and we were walking and I couldn't even walk down the stairs. I was like, they hurt so bad. I can't even walk. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to run tomorrow. He was like, well, we're already here. Just try your best.
And like, I mean,
it makes it that much more impressive.
But and for people, it's like, I can't remember exactly what the CrossFit work was, but wasn't there like 8 billion pistol squats and like,
yeah, that's what blew up my leg. It was just like a weird movement, and there were so many of them that my quads were just like on fire. They just felt like cement blocks. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the worst workout it could have been.
So the question, how did it go? How'd you do on those?
I did really well. I got 39th and top 120 move on. So it was way exceeded my expectations. I mean, I was hoping to just kind of skid by and make the next stage, but I did really well and competed with some of the best athletes in the world and super proud of my performance on CrossFit. So really excited about that.
So you are on through to the semis now?
I am. Yes.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Okay. So then we go from your death workouts, And then you come off there, and then so Saturday morning you're getting up, and I kind of did you get a chance to meet a lot of the other girls beforehand while you were down there?
Yeah, Friday when they had kind of the briefing about everything, I met all the girls and all the guys. Everyone was super welcoming, super sweet, and they kind of showed us. The course was like half set up, but they showed us kind of what it was going to be like. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm in way over my head. Like, this is a lot. They were like, first you run this way, then you run this way. And I was like, I'm never going to find my way out of this maze. And I was telling everyone, I was like, I talked to Dave and Bethany and they told me all these horror stories, like people skipping laps. I was like, they literally scared me.
Got the right shoes.
I did. The shoes was awesome. They worked so well. Everyone was asking me, they're like, what shoes were you wearing? And I was like, I mean, I had no idea. I never even tried them on before I got there. But I was like, Bethany said those would be the ones.
And they worked. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, honestly, you really should feel relief, Bethany, because if they didn't work, and you would be...
I know.
You wouldn't have come back.
I know my shoes. I know my shoes. You're good.
So this would have been Friday. This would have been after your CrossFit workout. So did anyone get the hint that you needed help walking around and thought maybe you wouldn't be much of a threat?
I mean, I told everyone. I didn't try to hide it. I was like, I'm hurting. But I I put on my game face. I was like, I'm going to go out there and give it my all. Like, I want to do this. I want to be here. And everyone knows that some of the worst days in CrossFit, your warm-up sucks, you can't hit the weight, and then they say 3, 2, 1, go, and all of a sudden, you can go. So I was like, hopefully the same thing will happen with High Rocks.
Yeah.
So did you and Elijah talk about it? Because I know he was going through the same deal, right?
He I didn't get a chance to actually talk to him. He wasn't at the briefing on Friday night. I'm not sure if he was still hitting the workouts or flying in or how he manage that, but I know people said that he was definitely hurting and his legs were feeling similar to mine.
All right, so you get ready, you go through that, you're getting your warm-up, you're at High Rocks, you're getting your whole warm-up in, everything's going good. Well, not good, but you're surviving. You're ready at the start line and then you guys head out, and I'm just curious, because when you guys head out, and I was there on the commentary, I watched, it was fast.
Yeah.
So, I mean, going through your head.
It was Renee. Renee took out, like, full-on sprinting, and I was like, I don't think I can do this. Like, there's no way I can hang with her. And I knew that. I mean, everyone told me she was going to go out fast, and but I knew it. I was like, well, I got to go out kind of fast. Like, I got to get the jitters out. And everyone said they were going to do that. So I was like, okay, I'll do that too.
So you held up pretty good though. I mean, like I, when I look at your splits there, so I mean, the first one was shorter than a kilometer, right? You guys didn't do a full kilometer at the first lap.
Correct. Yeah. They had a start kind of a little bit like around the corner. So we missed maybe 100, 150. I'm not sure how long it was. But yeah, I was definitely shorter.
Yeah. So you came
they
in.
They said we would make it up on the wall balls maybe because we had to run like through to the wall balls. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. It's
We were talking about this too, because we were wondering, because the splits were so fast for that first kilometer. So it was obviously, and people said it was short. So I was like, they pride themselves on standardization. So how did they make up that 8K, right? So I was wondering if maybe you knew kind of how they figured that out.
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think they planned it because we were inside the wall ball area, and they said on the last one, because you had to run around the corner and further, that then it would add up on the last one.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
So you did that one, and actually now I have your splits in front of me. So you actually came in there at 3:13, which was pretty good. And I'm pretty sure that wasn't far behind Rebecca Hammond, who I think was like a 3:11 or somewhere in that neck of the woods, something like that. So, I mean, you were hauling, you kept up.
Yeah. I was like, well, that's kind of my claim to fame in every CrossFit workout, ever since I was running track in high school, I would always go out really hot out of the gate. I think it's just the jitters and just your body just wanting to finally go. Like,
yeah.
So I think that was part of it.
So now you get there, you pull into the skier, right? And this is where you started to make me look smart, because beforehand, when we did our picks, I actually picked you to come second.
My family told me that. They were like, one guy had your back. And I was like, I bet that was Dave. I was like, no one else really had any faith in me.
So you made me look smart there because you went on the ski erg and then, like, to steal a phrase from Bethany, you crushed the bitches. I mean, like, you just flew through that ski erg. You actually did the second fastest high rocks ski erg of all time. So that's when you put in there. So that you came out of there. How were you feeling after that? At that point, did you start to think, okay, I can hang?
Yeah, I mean, I was like, well, I don't really need my legs as much for the ski. So I was like, maybe I can make up some time here. And skiing, I mean, I love skiing. It's definitely a good movement for me. So I knew that was going to be my strong part. I honestly held back a lot. Usually my ski erg pace is closer to 148 or 149. So I definitely knew I had to be conservative. I mean, it was the first event. I wasn't just going to go in there and then die. But yeah, I mean, I felt good at that point. And when I got off first, I was like, whoa, okay. Like maybe I went a little too fast. But then I just tried to hold on.
So yeah. Cause then your next kilometer coming out of this gear was still, it was a 404. So you were still obviously feeling pretty good coming out of that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I guess I still maybe had a little bit of that first high rocks event. Like I got this. I really didn't know where people were and I knew they were really fast runners. So I was like, okay, I have to kind of push on the run. So that was going through my head, but honestly, there was just also, I feel like my just kind of shut off my brain and just went. I was kind of just in a daze the whole time.
Well, it was pretty clear pretty quickly that it was separated where like you and Rebecca and Lauren were pretty much, you guys were going to take it to it. And it just became, as we were watching and as going through it, it was like, cause you were a bit of an unknown to everybody. It was, can she hold the pace on the run and maintain? And cause you would see you'd pull away at the stations and then Rebecca would start to creep back up. And then, and Lauren was just very consistent throughout, right? Very consistent throughout the whole thing. So it just became a matter of who made a mistake or if you made a mistake and someone could capitalize. So when you went through this sled push and pull, that's usually where, and according to Hunter McIntyre, this is where the race begins. How did you feel going in there? Like, did you feel any pressure from any of the girls at that point?
I definitely thought that was going to be somewhere where I could capitalize. Even from the very beginning of this race, I just knew that sled push is one of my better events. Even on the CrossFit side, I can just really dig in. And then when I saw the girls, I knew a lot of them were smaller and I definitely had not just like straight up pounds on them. So I knew that would definitely come in handy. And I was just excited that hopefully my CrossFit background and my strength would kind of help me with both of those events. And it was kind of like, it's kind of like when you run a race and there's like a hill and sometimes you can make up ground there if you are stronger and kind of have a different, you're not just speed wise. So I was excited about those events going into it. But then I was super afraid about the whole shoe thing. So that kind of got in my head.
You were fine. You had the right shoes on.
Well, did you find, because everybody says this when they do the high rocks is, you know, I practiced with like 9,000 pound sled and I got there and this thing was heavier. Like, was it the same for you or did it feel consistent with what you had trained with?
Oh, no, it was definitely much heavier than what I thought. I mean, I kind of knew that going in, there's millions of horror stories out there, even in CrossFit, of different turf and concrete and sun and wet and kind of all different things affecting the sled. So whenever I practice sled push and pull, I would just put as much weight on it as possible. I mean, one time in my basement, I literally put every single weight I had on it because it was like a concrete surface just to make sure, like, if I got to that sled and it was going to be super heavy, that I had at least attempted that or tried it. So I tried to just kind of keep loading on more and more and more weight until I literally could not push it.
Yeah, when I saw you hit the sled push, there was Rebecca and there was Lauren and you just kept pushing past them. Like, I was like, she's got this.
So I agree. When that was over and I saw what you had done and I saw you were still going, I knew that you'd do really well. And I know you were great on the rower with experience with that. And you did prove that again. You had a really great row and comparatively. What point were you confident that all you had to do was just keep your foot on the pedal and not make a mistake?
I never truly felt that way. I was super afraid of hitting that wall. I was like, is this going to be like when you run kind of an all out 1600 and you hit that wall, or 400 or 16 on that third lap or that final 100 and your legs just lock up and you literally hit that wall and you're holding on for dear life. I was definitely afraid of that happening. And then I was afraid of just my body quitting on me because of everything it had been through this past couple days. So there was definitely some fears going through my mind, probably until I got to wall ball 99. I definitely had that fear.
Well, you did cross the line in a solid heap. So when you think about the women you raced against, and I'm gonna ask you about a couple of different women, not just women there, but other women that weren't there. Who do you think, and I assume you're going to be doing this again, who do you think is a real threat? Who jumps out at you is like, oh my God, I'm going to have to be on my A game if I want to beat this girl again?
Definitely both Rebecca and Lauren. I mean, they both have different strengths and weaknesses. Like you said, Lauren is just very consistent. Her technique and her movement patterns in every event are kind of dialed into a T. I mean, her burpees, everything is very efficient. She's a strong athlete. She has a CrossFit background and she's also a decent runner. So she's definitely her consistency. And then Rebecca, I mean, she is extremely fast. And even though she's smaller, she still is extremely strong. So both of those girls, definitely, those are kind of the two girls I got to know most and kind of compete with side by side. But even Corinne too, I mean, she ran a solid race. She again has that strength dialed in. I was super impressed with all the girls there, actually. They're all just very different athletes, which was kind of cool to see, and how everyone's strengths and weaknesses played different kind of parts in different events and different parts of the race.
Now, I don't know how much research you've done on some of the other women from overseas, so I'm going to throw a few names at you. Sarah Colty.
She has the world record, doesn't she?
Yes, she does. She does right now. Now, I said this before, I kind of questioned it a little bit because she did it. Not that she's not amazing. She's fantastic. And that girl is a sled pushing machine. But she did get the record at an event where everybody had these ridiculous sled times. And I don't know if there was something wrong with it. So, I mean, it's not tainted, but it definitely, a lot of people put in a lot of fast times on that one. So, yes, Sarah Colty, another girl, Imke Salander.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, Viola. Or sorry,
Oberlander. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think she was supposed to be at the race with us, and then she couldn't get in.
Yes. Yeah,
she was very devastated. Yeah. She was very upset.
Yeah, I reached out to her. I was like, "Oh, that to get all that way and be that close and then be turned down at the last minute, I can't even imagine."
So there's those, and then one more I'm going to add to that is Faye Stenning. So, how do you think it would happen if you brought those girls into the event? And I assume that a lot of those girls are going to be obviously at the world championship, and I'm hoping Faye will be at the Chicago at the US championship. How do you think that's going to work out? How do you think they're going to fit in? Because I mean, the women's field that you guys were already in was intense enough. You put those women in there.
I mean, I want to race against the best. I think racing against people that are better than you and can push you can only bring out the best in yourself. So I would want nothing more than to hopefully that they are amazing and they are kind of hanging up there and pushing me in my full potential. I haven't really gotten to meet any of those people that you named. But like I said, I hope I get the chance to race against them and meet them.
So a lot of people didn't know about you in the HYROX world. They just, you know, hadn't been introduced. You didn't know what your abilities were. And I mentioned this before, and this is something, who are the other women that you might think, and not only just the other women, other men, because right now, nobody in the HYROX community can see anyone that can, other than maybe Lucas to a certain extent, that can give Hunter a run for his money. Who do you maybe know of in the CrossFit world or anywhere else that you think can come into HYROX and give Hunter, who can come in there, but maybe the HYROX world doesn't know about, and can give these guys a run for the money, a challenge?
Yeah, I mean, if HYROX and CrossFit would communicate a little bit better about their seasons and schedules, I feel like there definitely would be some really top competitive athletes that could give these people a run for their money. I mean, having that strength background, and a lot of the CrossFitters nowadays do have an amazing endurance background too. I know some of them have fallen short when they've kind of been in that HYROX situation, because the running is no joke when it comes to HYROX. Some CrossFitters call themselves good runners, but then you throw them in with HYROX athletes and that's definitely not the case. But I do think, I mean, I don't really know exactly off the top of my head. I know you guys have already brought in Sam Briggs, so she's kind of an endurance freak when it comes to CrossFit. Christy Aramo, I know she was supposed to run in the race, but CrossFit kind of took precedence, but I think she would be awesome. On the guys' side, I'm not exactly sure. Like I said, I know a lot of strong guys that would crush the events, but the run would definitely hold them back. I trained hand-in-hand with Chandler Smith, who's an endurance freak and also a CrossFit freak, but he, I mean, the run got him even in that sense. So even people that are at the top, top best in the world in CrossFit and very good runners in the CrossFit side can't really hang in the HYROX situation. So it's definitely a special niche that you would have to kind of find that athlete that would give Hunter, I think you said Lucas, kind of a run for their money.
Yeah, so when you look at your performance then, so you've said HYROX is kind of like it's the perfect event for you. If you could design an event that was great for you because you have the track background and you have the CrossFit and that's really the perfect mix for HYROX. Do you see yourself taking down that world record then? And what would it take for you to get that? Where would you really need to focus to get that record?
I always want to be the best I can, and I would love to break the world record. Like I said, the biggest kind of downfall is the fact that it's the same season as CrossFit. I've been training for 2 years to be kind of at the top of CrossFit, and with semifinals and hopefully the games coming up, that's definitely my top priority. And I think when it comes to HYROX, where I'd really have to put in the time is with longer runs, more mileage, just kind of getting some more running under my belt. And that kind of might hurt me a little bit in the CrossFit side, just because I'm already such a strong runner and endurance side in CrossFit that my time needs to go to more my weaknesses like gymnastics and strength in the CrossFit side of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's such a tough balance being able to do all things well.
But it seems to me like a lot of the HYROX athletes do dabble into a lot of different OCR sports. So they're kind of, it's not like anyone is just the HYROX athlete. It sounds like they're like starting and kind of all different events that they're kind of working towards. So it sounds like everyone's kind of in the same boat in a sense. Like I know Rebecca was talking about how she right now is training for something where her mileage and her endurance has to be kind of much higher. So it's harder for her to implement kind of the strength side of things. So I know other girls are kind of in that same situation.
Yeah, that's kind of the cool thing about HYROX is you can come at it from extremely different training situations, and you can face each other. And, you know, Rebecca can just, I think on average, her runs were 30 seconds faster than yours, but then your events were then that much faster. So it's just like this really interesting back and forth, which you can do HYROX that way. Like I mean, your run splits were actually incredibly even. Like you averaged 4:30s after you take the first two out and you were super consistent. So, I mean, you take like seconds off a few of the events and you might not even really have to change your running that much. So that's kind of the cool thing about the sport is you can have such extremes, and as long as you can handle the workout stations, then yeah, it makes for a really interesting race with extremely different athletes coming into it. So you don't have to necessarily specialize in it to do well, but not many people do at this point.
Well, I think the only two people I can think of that are like pure high for Ox are, again, Lucas and Viola. Like, I don't think, I mean, it's having just spoken.
Well, I would say Hunter is.
At this point, yeah, but you know, give it a week. He'll find something else. He'll get distracted by
show. Right now, it's like the marathon, he's got to do 200-pound marathon. So, you're right.
A shiny propeller in the corner, and he'll go off to the side, and then he'll come back and still go. Yeah. I like to rag on Hunter because it's a lot of fun, but the guy is super smart about his training. Like, he knows his stuff. So is Chicago on the list then? Chicago being the U.S. championship for HYROX. Are you headed there?
I hope so. That's the plan right now. the semifinals run straight up until the week right before U.S. World Championships. And then the CrossFit Games last chance qualifier is actually the same weekend as High Rec Chicago. And I promised myself I would never do both in the same weekend ever again. But yeah, right now, I definitely am super excited to race at Chicago.
But you're not going to need the last chance qualifier anyway, so it won't matter.
Hopefully not, yes.
Yeah, High Rocks is on June 26th, and then CrossFit Finals July 26th, is that right? So you got a month.
Yep.
Now, I'm not sure what kind of recovery time. Again, my CrossFit knowledge is very little. I'm learning, I'm getting better. But yeah, how's the recovery time? Is that enough time for you to recover and to peak?
That should be, yeah. That should be plenty of time. And like I said, I mean, it's not like you're training for just one or the other. They do very well, go hand in hand. So it is nice that neither of them are, I feel like, are hurting me in one sense right now. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, you didn't specialize to train for this, right? You didn't. You said you didn't change your training. You could come into that, and there's no reason you can't do the same again. And I like Bethany. I don't think you really need to change much on your running to get break that record. It's consistent that people on their second time they do it, they go through it, seem to shave anywhere from like 2 to 5 minutes off, depending on how their past time was. And that's without any fitness increase, just kind of figuring out how to pace yourself, where you're gonna push it, where you're not, and just where everything is to not get lost.
That's kind of what Hunter actually was talking to me about after the race. He was like, honestly, this course, first of all, wasn't set up very well. He was like, I felt like I was in world record shape, but the inside the rock zone was just so long. And then also just, he was like, I'm obviously like getting confused, knowing kind of what to expect and just go in there. And so he kind of made me feel a little bit better too after it. He's like, don't worry, that was your first one. And I was like, oh, I'm like fine, I feel happy, but
why would
it
you
definitely
have
wasn't a lot. I was just like, that was like, I felt like a chicken with my head cut off in there. I was like running all these random ways.
Or not to mention having fresh legs.
Yeah.
Like being able to walk the day before.
Yeah, that could definitely help.
In reality, you may have just stumbled onto the greatest High Rocks warm-up. Maybe that everybody is going in too fresh and they need to burn themselves out beforehand. That's the problem.
Maybe that is the secret.
You need to write a book and then get everybody else to do that, and hopefully you can capitalize.
Honestly, I wouldn't wish that pain on my worst enemy. It was severe. I was like, I cannot walk. And like Zach was like massaging my legs and like bringing me ice packs. I was like, oh no.
Did you use any type of nutrition or fuel in the race then?
During the race, no. I mean, sometimes right before I do a really long CrossFit workout, or for example, High Rocks, I threw a pack of just little kid gummies in my mouth for just to stop me from biting my cheeks and kind of get me a little extra carbs. But during the race, no, I definitely felt like I maybe wanted water or Gatorade or something, but I was like, it's only an hour. Like you can finish it without stopping.
So even something like that might have helped, because I mean, when you're working in that just post 60 minute, like a little bit of glucose, so that might be something to think about too for your next time.
Yeah, I mean, where do people keep it? Or like someone gives it to them? Or okay, they just kind of stick it in there. And
yeah, you stick it in there.
I'm gonna wear one next time. That's my plan.
There you go. I think guys tuck it in the top of their shorts.
Okay.
Yeah. I just try never to do anything that requires me to go far enough to have to do anything like
he's
that.
He's a 3K runner.
Maybe, you know, 50-meter ninja courses, and I'm okay. You are right about the setup of that, and Hunter's right too. It was a bit of a bizarre setup, especially with, like, when you did yours, Bethany, you were on two laps, I assume, right?
Yeah, I was a two-lapper, yeah.
Having your three laps as well, and this as well could slow you down. You're more corners, right? You're slowing down. It's a tighter track. You're having to slow down more and make corners, and dealing on a floor like that, that can get slippery. I think every corner helps. And I honestly believe that given that run, if you did that race, same scenario, like a week later, obviously to recover, I imagine you would have done a better time, even better time.
I hope so. I really hope so. After that, I'm still kind of recovering from a sickness. I think my body just, my immune system shut down, and the smallest little common cold just completely put me in my coffin, and I'm finally now feeling back to my normal self. But it was a rough couple weeks after that weekend.
So we weren't sure about this. Now, do you have to do a different event before Chicago, or are you guys qualified for Chicago? Did they say? Because it was a bit of confusion there.
Yeah, at first on Friday night, they told us that we did have to run a different race before Chicago, and a lot of people were upset, kind of mad, but Eric made it sound like there's a lot of people in the regular pro division that wanted to be in that 10K race, so it was kind of fair that this was kind of separate. But then a couple of days later, he emailed us just the top three from each race and said, you guys' times are good enough. I've decided that you guys get to kind of go to Chicago. We really want you to race another event, but I definitely am going to say that you guys are good to go as far as qualifying in that sense.
Well, that's good, because otherwise that would have been moronic.
Yeah. Like, why would she not directly qualify?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, people were really mad. One guy at the brief was like, oh, can I run the elite wave and then right after jump in with the pros so I can qualify for High Rock Chicago? And everyone was like, you're going to run two back to back. Like, it was crazy.
Morgan Schultz did that. She ran the team and then ran the individual as well.
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Yeah.
But yeah, I that was something we had heard about. And I was just like, come on, seriously. Like, I know, I get where they wanted to separate it. And that makes sense. And the people who ran in the other division, great, they deserve to go too. But it's not like you guys did different races. You didn't do different courses. Nothing was different. You were all in the same spot. And it just, honestly, it would not have made any sense. It would have been a bad luck, like, for you guys to have been omitted from that.
And I saw him at the pool the next day, and he was like, are you going to be at Austin or Orlando? And I was like, neither. I was like, I'm getting married. I have semifinals. I was like, I have so much going on. Like, I literally can't. He was like, oh.
You're getting married?
I am. I was supposed to get married last summer, but then COVID happened. So we rescheduled the wedding for actually next month, May 28th. And then everything kept changing. CrossFit schedule kept changing. It's just been kind of a little bit of a nightmare, but the wedding's going on and we're super excited.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, but I'm going to tell you something here. Bethany gave you great advice last time with the shoes, but this is my advice here.
Oh, here we go.
We're dealing with COVID weddings, okay? Okay. I got married during COVID as well.
Whoa, okay.
And it was even harder here because we're under a communist regime of the New Canada Order. And anyway.
I'm currently a fugitive.
Yeah. I don't know, fugitive.
No, I was chased out of a house by cops.
You're yet to
just
be
kidding. Not quite. We were asked to leave politely. Anyways, go ahead, Dave.
It was Canadian police, so there was just like, please.
Yeah.
So if you get married properly during COVID, you only have to bring two other people and you can do the entire wedding for $300. It's a way better deal. And then you get these rubber wedding rings and they're like $25. You get four of them, so then you can lose a few, right? So that's what you got to do. You miss the boat because you're going to have people there now. You're going to have caterers and pictures. All that stuff. No. Two people, and you just pick the two people who live closest to the venue. I'm writing a book.
You saved so much money on your wedding that you have plenty to give to me for my
would have, but you didn't invite us. I felt snubbed. It would have hurt feelings, stuff like that. Couldn't do it.
Oh.
Okay, so obviously, like you said, Chicago is the plan. CrossFit Games is the plan. We're a little, well, especially me, I'm a little back on the process of getting to the games. So what's your next step now? You have to do the semifinals. How does that work?
So this week, actually, we get our semifinals. So we got to rank the different semifinals from 1 to 4. There's 4 in North America. I obviously ranked the one the weekend of my wedding last. So hopefully I don't get that one. I do get that one, I guess I'm going to kiss my CrossFit season goodbye, or kiss Zach goodbye. So hopefully I get, there's a, the two that I wanted, the last one is virtual, I think a lot for most of the Canadians because they can't really get into the border right now. So hopefully I get one of those two. One of them is the week after my wedding, which is still not ideal, but we'll make it work. So hopefully semifinals goes well. Top five at each semifinal move on straight to the games. And then number 6, 7, and 8 from each semifinal gives you the last chance. And so that's kind of how the next stage of the CrossFit Open or the CrossFit Games journey goes.
So this is where it gets really cutthroat, right? This is where it's down to the nitty gritty and you know, make it or don't make it. That seems like a such a drastic jump. Like, I mean, from the Open when you went from, I don't know, thousands of people making it to the semis and down to like, okay, here's six of you, go.
No, it's definitely, it's pretty cutthroat. So, and everyone is going to be looking for blood at those semifinals. So it'll be some good competition. I'm really excited.
Well, I have more matrimonial advice for you here. So this is good. So when we did get married, we got married on a Thursday. Because that's when everybody wants to get married, is Thursday. And then we spent our honeymoon, which was the next weekend, and this is something you can do, so this applies, doing a virtual competition for a company called RX1 in our living room. So see, you could go the next weekend and not call it your honeymoon and do the virtual semifinals in your living room. Zach would be delighted and think it's incredibly romantic.
I mean, I don't know if that's exactly what he had in mind, but I'm sure he would support me regardless. I'll tell him it worked for you guys and you guys are still together, right?
Yes, yes. And I mean, it's been a few months. I mean, that's still together after all these days. It's good, you know.
What number rubber ring are you on?
No, I haven't lost any yet. Okay, actually, I think there might be one in the garage because I was doing some obstacle work down there and I pulled it off earlier today. So it might be down in the shelf on the garage. I know there were the other three are. So I have a real one somewhere too, but she hid that so I don't lose it.
Oh, probably a good idea.
It's with the other three. So, and I don't know. I do know where they are. Apparently I know where they are, but I don't remember. Honestly, don't take marriage advice from me. I'm probably a bad but I won't practice. Anyway. Bethany, do you have anything else for Rachel for tonight?
No, I don't. My cheeks hurt, though, from laughing. Same. Your marriage advice.
Again, yeah, you know.
No, it's great. No, thanks so much, Rachel, for joining us again. And yeah, good luck with the rest of your season. And I hope we get to talk again soon.
Yes, thank you guys so much for first believing in me and then sharing all your tips and having me on here again. It truly is a really cool community to be a part of and I'm super excited.
Would you say that we were directly the reason you won?
Oh, 100%.
Okay. I just needed to get that in there before we're done. All me.